Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on 4th and 1.
So, anyways, with that, time, George.
Welcome to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs, and we are here to talk about, Nick, are we calling this the AFC Championship game preview or just the best game of the NFL regular season when the Chiefs play at Baltimore on Monday Night Football next, in a couple days here?
The banner and promo would be way too long for that second thing. Way too long. Too many characters. It's expensive. They're not going to do it.
See,
why you're not in marketing. I'm just going
to
tell you.
Right. I come from a print background where we had lots of space to do whatever we wanted with. I forget that you're kind of limited by the lower third and by being a little more catchy in TV. I'm still working on it. It's still my first couple of years in the business here.
Well, I wish you the best in your future endeavor. As one of our coworkers said, good luck to you in your show business career.
Yeah. Shout out, Steve. See, I don't want people to get confused by his nickname, so I'm just going to call him Steve. We will leave it at that.
I already said it before you, so.
Yeah, no. I know. I was trying to cover for you, but now people are going to go back and be like, oh, why is that guy called Killer? And now we're going to have a whole separate podcast on why we have a colleague named Killer. But I digress. Speaking of things that got killed, the Chiefs defense last week did not get rave reviews on Twitter. A lot of people were frustrated, especially with the run defense. And look, if you go back and watch the film, there's a lot of times where they could have played better, certainly, especially when they had opportunities to stop, say, a first or second down run for a 3-yard gain instead of a 6-yard gain, and kind of allowed the Chargers to gain some continuity there. But did you think that the defense played as bad as after rewatching the film as you initially thought?
They obviously had the tackling issues at the linebacker corps.
I wasn't going to single Anthony Hitchens out, but.
I said linebackers, but you went next level on that one. So, as the linebackers, they had some struggles overall. I mean, they are who they are at this point. Yeah. I mean, Wilson's an aggressive downhill linebacker that should be in the same position, and I mean Hitchens is their. I mean, he's their Mike, but I mean he's routinely struggled the past 3 years and hasn't lived up to what he did in Dallas and hasn't. Yeah. Performed at the same level that he did in Dallas. And then you have Ben Neiman that they keep putting in there. Neiman is
Willie Gay's gonna be ready at some point, right? And he's taking that job.
I mean, for my Twitter mentions, I sure hope so as soon as possible. I'm tired of answering that question. I literally have no control over it. I get people wondering, they're like, hey, we know he's athletic. Can they just let him make the mistakes out there that's already being made? And I totally get it, but I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they don't, I'm not the coach, so I mean, I can't do anything about that, unfortunately.
Well, it's important to remember, he missed, 8 games last season because he was suspended. He's not a guy who's had a lot of high-level reps at linebacker. So, of all the Chiefs players, Willie Gay may be the one who missed having those preseason reps and preseason games more than anyone.
Right, and the thing that I've said on Twitter and I've said on here before is that I'm still treating these first 4 games like they're the preseason games. They're ramped up preseason games, but from a rep perspective, I feel like these first 4 games for every NFL team is kind of the equivalent of them going through the preseason. And maybe this 3rd game kind of gives them the same amount of reps overall. So, I mean, I'm not surprised by some of the play not being ideal in the first 2 to 3 weeks like people are expecting. But I don't think we're going to find out who teams really are until that week 6 to week 10 range. Then I think that's where people are going to be able to see that, oh, okay, yeah, that's the Chiefs offense that we were thinking about. It's going to take them getting in sync and timing and rhythm for a lot of football teams on both sides of the football. And with the Chiefs defense, what I ended up seeing from them is, I mean, yes, they had the tackling issues. They had some pursuit angle issues. But when they needed to, there in the 4th quarter, I mean, the defensive line took over the line of scrimmage and really shut down the run game. And it's going to be up to the defensive line to do that on a routine basis, whether it's this week against the Ravens or another week. It's going to be up to the D line, and it's going to be, and you're just going to kind of hope that the linebackers can, be in the correct position that they need to be to fill the hole that they need to. Because as Steve Spagnuolo said in the NFL Network documentary about Andy Reid, Time's Yours, is that he's talking about you build – I was taught you set the edge, and then he's talking about you set the edge, you build the wall so that the front side gets taken away, and then the back side is called tracking the hip. So where that running back's hip is, that's what you're tracking so you don't overrun it, but you keep contain on the back side. So, I mean, there were a couple times where the Chiefs weren't able to keep contain, and that messed them up a little bit. And then there was one time where, like, Chris Jones was in the backfield, and he didn't slow down and take an ideal angle. He came in at 100 miles an hour, so the running back did a juke move and then cut around and went to the hole that he vacated and got a 15-yard gain. So, I mean, there's just certain times where, like, if they can be under control and continue to do that, then I think they've got a chance to improve to an ideal level. But if the Chiefs' offense is scoring points at will, teams are going to have to, you know, run away from that idea of running the ball consistently.
All right. The Ravens are one of the better running football teams in the league, though. So I mean, looking forward, I agree.
You had to bring everybody down.
I'm just saying, for this particular matchup, though, it looks like on paper it's a mismatch. But I wanted to ask, because you brought up a point about Damian Wilson's natural tendency is to be coming downhill like a freight train, mm-hmm. and that seems to be his comfort zone. It seems like that might actually play – this is one of the few teams in the NFL where that still might play well. So is this, in an odd way, a good matchup with what the Ravens' strength is as a run team and what the Chiefs linebacker's strength is as kind of those old-school downhill guys, assuming that, you know, Anthony Hitchens can actually stop the guy instead of getting dragged 3 yards?
I mean, that's kind of what you're hoping. I mean, at the end of the day, it honestly comes down to Mark Andrews at tight end. Because, I mean, that's who they run a lot of their play action through, unless it's Brown on a slant or they do a little rollout deep post type thing. It's going to be pick your poison. I mean, the Chiefs are going to give up some big plays. They're going to give up yards, and they're going to have some struggles because of how good the Ravens are. I mean, the Ravens, you know, they're an AFC championship caliber type of team, and they've built this team up to kind of be able to battle the Chiefs. So, I mean, this is kind of the test barometer for both these football teams that if they can get back to that mountaintop.
Real quick, another thing I wanted to ask you about. I thought the Texans actually did a very, very good job against Lamar Jackson in the run game. And we've seen – I mean, I think if there was 5 minutes left in the game last September at Arrowhead, the way Lamar Jackson was running at a worn-down Chiefs defense – I think the Ravens would have pulled that one out last week. What, if anything, do you think the Chiefs can take from the job that the Texans did in keeping him contained? Because their interior pass rush maintained its rush integrity well. They did a good job setting the edge. And Lamar Jackson didn't have any runs longer than 14 yards, and he averaged less than 3.4 yards a carry. And I think if you could do that, 16 carries for 54 yards, I think you would take that if you're the Chiefs in this matchup, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, anything you can do to keep him under 100 rushing, it would be an ideal situation. So, I mean, like you said, I mean, with a quarterback like that, I mean, you're trying to figure out a way to keep him from reaching. You're trying to keep him from reaching the edge, or you're also trying to keep him contained in the pocket. And it's going to take a lot of discipline. And there's going to be times where Chris Jones, he's going to have to stay disciplined. He can't just go make a play like he wants to sometimes and open up a lane to that Lamar can just juke around and run through and then pick up the first down. I mean, it's going to take all four of those defensive linemen and even the linebackers sometimes to maintain that discipline. And like you said, in both the run and the pass, and it's not going to be easy. It's going to be frustrating at times, but to win the war, that's what you're going to have to do in that battle.
I also think the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, might have something to say about how the Chiefs defend Lamar Jackson and his legs. But, hey, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the good guys on offense here on 4th and 1.
It's It's about time to watch on your time. Whether it's going to be mostly this, or partly this, or maybe grab this. Now stream local weather on this. It's about time we fit into your schedule. Search 41 Action News on your device.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined again by Nick Jacobs, and we're here to talk about the big Monday night showdown between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. A lot of people billing this as Patrick Mahomes against Lamar Jackson. They're playing up the fact that it's the first time two MVP candidates or two MVP winners age 25 or younger have ever met. Obviously, Patrick won the MVP in 2018. Lamar won it last year. I mean, do you buy into that? I mean, obviously, these guys are going to pay attention to – or these guys do pay attention to what each other does. But, I mean, it's not really Patrick against Lamar, is it?
In some ways, it might actually end up being that, about who can make the bigger play that puts their team on top. So, I mean, in some ways, it kind of is who's going to have the bigger factor in helping their team win. So, I mean, that in some ways, it actually kind of is – the two of them. Now, are there other people involved in the football game and, you know, the Andy Reid coaching tree in this? There's in the layers with Peters, you know, Peters in this game, Marcus Peters. And, you know, there's so many layers to this game in general. But, I mean, the overall one is everybody wants to watch the quarterback. That's your marquee. That's who draws the fans in the stands. Or in this case, the 250 fans in the stands and all the people at home watching on TV.
When you look at, obviously, the game last week, I mean, great job by Patrick Mahomes. You know, I mean, I think everyone kind of felt like once he got the ball back with, 2:27 to go, either the Chiefs were either winning it or they were going to overtime. And I think everybody kind of knew when they decided to punt on 4th and 1 in overtime, that was a wrap. The game was over at that point. But does it concern you that the offense has had a little trouble getting going? You know, does it concern you that, I mean, for the first 3.5 quarters, that might have been, you know, one of the worst games Mahomes had played. You know, obviously they struggled to get the run going against a Chargers team that, frankly, isn't as good as this Ravens team, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, like I said in the previous segment, I mean, I'm still kind of treating this mentally like preseason right now. Do I want to see him beat the Ravens? Of course, because it's going to be a big tiebreaker if they need it down the road. That's going to be a good one to have that can decide if the Chiefs have a bye week or if they're playing that first round this year. So, I mean, in that regard, you're kind of hoping for the best. With this game, you want to see the offense really kind of get in sync in some regard and start to kind of find their identity and who they're going to be and get Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be effective in the football game, both run and pass, and to have the pass protection be ideal, to have Mahomes drops be ideal for the pass protection and for the receivers to be on sync, and for DeMarcus Robinson to catch everything thrown to him, and for Mecole Hardman to kind of be a bigger factor in the offense. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I'd love to see. This is going to be a tall task against this Ravens defense. So if they're able to do it, that's fantastic. And they're kind of where fans have been envisioning and hoping they'll be.
So when I was watching the game film, it looked like some of the ways that you can effectively attack this Ravens defense kind of play to the Chiefs' strength. But it's not going to be some of the big plays. You know, it's the crossers or, you know, maybe some of the jet sweeps, just ways that you kind of attack the edge with speed. What do you think the Chiefs need to do well if they're going to be able to move the ball and either sustain drives like they did against Houston or hit a few more big plays like the Mahomes, the Tyreek play that finally got the offense on track there in the fourth quarter at Los Angeles?
I think part of it's going to be patience. And I know that sounds weird to say, but I mean, the Ravens, they blitz. They blitz a significant amount. They're going to bring a lot of different coverages, a lot of different looks that they're going to keep Mahomes guessing on. And hopefully the Chiefs are able to guess right and Mahomes is able to guess right. But above all else, I think it really comes down to pass protection. And whenever Mahomes takes his drops, that he stays at that drop so pass protection can widen the pocket how it needs to and be able to kind of really help everything get in sync. I think that was a big part of last week that kind of really derailed what they were able to do there for a while.
Obviously, the Ravens dealing with some injuries in the secondary. Chiefs familiar with that issue. But, you know, Tavon Young is going to be out, so they're going to have to make some adjustments there. They've had some communication breakdowns in zone already this year. You know, so like you said, sometimes they don't play strictly man. You know, they mix it up a little bit. I think they're vulnerable in those zone coverages because of those breakdowns and because they are going to be having to blend personnel a little bit different than they had throughout the offseason. But I wanted to ask you one thing. We talk a lot about Lamar Jackson and his legs, but Patrick Mahomes' running made a big difference last week. Can that be a big difference this week too when the Ravens are in man, you know, and maybe turn their back and Patrick kind of burns him with that and keeps the chains moving in some key situations?
Yeah, it can, as long as he doesn't drift back. If he starts to drift back to where the offensive tackles aren't able to widen and help widen to that certain aspect, then that's when the offense is going to have a problem. Pat's going to take some big shots again like he did last week. That's kind of the reality of that. But like you said, if he can trust that interior to widen what they need to and to find the escape hatches to where there was a couple times what the Chargers were doing last week, they had the DNs and wide nines, and they would just scream them upfield and not at a fast pace, but at a steady pace. And then they would adjust based on Pat's depth whenever he was in his drop step. And then there were times when they'd switch it up, and then they would have one guy be the spy contain on the side they wanted him to go to. And then they had the rusher that would make him somewhat nervous to either drift back or he'd have to wait till the tackle widened him out and then use that as an escape hatch to that side. So I'm curious how much the Ravens are going to take that versus how much they're going to bring Patrick Queen on some blitzes and some of the other guys, and what they're going to bring corner blitz wise and all that stuff. I mean, they're going to bring a lot of different stuff at him. So I'm very curious to see how much the Ravens blend what they've done in the past versus what the Chargers and Niners have done with their defenses in terms of being patient with zone coverage and letting their four rushers take advantage of it.
As a Clyde Edwards-Helaire fantasy owner, is he going to have more of a week one game or a week two game, do you think?
I think if he can have more of a week one game, then I think they got a good chance to win. But if it's more of a week two game, then, I mean, the odds may not be in the Chiefs' favor.
Well, that would also be good news for my fantasy football team, and bad news for my cousin's husband. So,
thanks for that dynamite drop in.
Everybody wants to know about my fantasy team, Nick. We'll talk more about it in the C block here on 4th and 1.
Can't always trust the weather in Kansas City. Trust the 41 Action News weather team. On air, online, and on your phone. KC's one and only, most accurate.
So that's why I'm going to send a present to Vic Fangio. Because I wouldn't have won my first week.
You can play a game where it's called Less Words about your fantasy team. Let's play.
So this isn't a podcast about my fantasy team, huh?
No.
All right, fine. Welcome back to 4th and 1. Nick's tired of listening to me talk about my fantasy team, so I guess we'll talk about the Chiefs. But are you telling me that wasn't a great story about the Vic Fangio thing?
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I tuned out halfway through, so I don't know. I don't know what the conclusion was.
Well, he's getting a Christmas card for me. That's the conclusion.
Your Vic Fangio looks forward to. He's gonna wait by the mailbox every day. Is Todd gonna send that thank you card for helping his fantasy team?
So hey, I want to get your impression real quick about Lamar Jackson, the passer, because we all know how dangerous he is as a runner. But Lamar Jackson, the passer, you know, there's been a lot of talk that, oh, he's made all these great improvements, things like that. When I watch the game, at least the Texans game, it seems like they have really simplified that offense. Like, it's very, very simple progression, simple reads for him. But I still see him, you know, miss like the deep boundary throws and those throws that I think really separate the elite NFL passer from just a dude who happens to play quarterback in the NFL. Am I crazy?
I'm not kidding. I think Mark Andrews has so much to do with what this offense is from a passing perspective. Like, he's the safety blanket for Lamar Jackson. So, I mean, he's the guy that if you take away him, yeah, Brown may have some big plays on you. You know, Snead may have something. A couple of players may have a play here or there. But I'm telling you, Mark Andrews is kind of he stirs the drink. Let's call it that. He's the drink stirrer. Whatever you want to call that. That's what
he's drinkster man.
Yes. I mean, that is actually his position. It's not tight end. It's drinkster. He's kind of the guy that makes it go more than people realize, other than, you know, Lamar running with the ball or Ingram, or I tell you what, J.K. Dobbins, the guy, once he understands that offense, like, that, he's going to be what makes them lethal. That dude, remember, I watched him in both games, like, oh my God, that speed's really good. That speed's a lot better than it was on the college tape.
Yeah. And he's a guy, you know, second, third round, he was a guy I was kind of thinking, you know, hey, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is off the board, go ahead and take Dobbins. I liked what I saw from him at Ohio State. I hate the fact that he's with the Ravens.
he's – the dude's got some speed. And then that offense, I mean, I'll be curious to see where he's at in a couple of years with him.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see. I wanted to ask, too, it looks like – I mean, Charvarius Ward's kind of come back. He's been back in practice. How much of a difference do you think that can make? Because obviously you've still got, you know, a couple more games of the suspension for Bashaud Breeland before the Chiefs get back to full strength at that position.
Right.
But Charvarius Ward quietly had one of the better years in the NFL among young corners last year. And he to me is a difference maker for this Chiefs defense. And I'm not saying that his absence last week is why the Chiefs defense struggled. I think the young guy stepped up and played well. But if he and Antonio Hamilton can come back and beef up that secondary, that's got to help, right?
It definitely won't hurt. The thing with Charvarius that makes him so unique, and Snead, I love how Snead tackles too. Charvarius Ward and Breeland are both physical corners, and both their press, their ability to tackle, which is what Spagnuolo loves. And that was actually part of the problem that they had on run defense, is like their corners, when they have Ward and Breeland out there, those dudes can tackle. Like, they can help, you know, stop that edge to where they can't widen stuff out. And that, in some regards, I mean, if they can get Ward back against Lamar Jackson, that's going to help on that side to kind of take away some of the headaches overall in some regards. So, I mean, if Ward can come back and kind of play up to his ability. I mean, I don't know how his hand feels. I know how my wrist felt for a while after surgery, so I don't know how his hand's going to feel overall. But, I mean, if he's able to be physical and press and tackle like that, and then Snead has really, really shined. In those first two games, I mean, that guy's way ahead of where you would think he would be or even should be to some regard. Yeah. So, I mean, and he's a physical guy that's willing to tackle too. So, I mean, they have tons of promise with him, of Ward and Breeland, and those three guys together. And then you put Fitton back to where he kind of belongs, covering ideally the number four receiver. I mean, then you have a really, really good cornerback secondary combination there with the safeties that you have, to where you feel really comfortable with where they're at. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, Breeland, you're just counting down the days till after the Patriots game when he can come back. And then you pair him with a healthy Ward, and then with Snead, that's the ideal scenario for the long run.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, because a lot of times I think when people talk about containing a running game, you think about the defensive ends, you know, setting the edge, not getting sucked in. But those cornerbacks playing that force role,
right,
and forcing, you know, funneling everything back to where the linebackers and the pursuit is, can play a big role as well. So
especially on the jet sweeps and reverses and things like that, if they're there, they're so big for that type of stuff.
All right, so let's get to the part of the show everybody waits for: Nick's prediction for Monday night.
I doubt anybody's waiting for it. I thought you were gonna.
Vic Fangio wants to know.
Yeah, sure. Just sitting there on his phone, just waiting away, wondering what I'm going to say about a game that doesn't impact him.
But he skipped the A and B blocks just to get to this, Nick.
I mean, with what happened last week, and until they go out there and prove it on the football field, I'm unfortunately expecting a loss in this game. I hope I'm incredibly wrong. I hope I am. I hope the Chiefs blow them out. I hope the Chiefs have a decisive victory. I'm hoping for all that stuff. But I think if there's a game that the Ravens are going to be able to get the Chiefs, it's going to be this one right now. But I've felt that the last two times, and the Chiefs still won. So.
Right. I mean, Patrick Mahomes did Patrick Mahomes things. Well, you know, I'm with you, though. I mean, I think in Baltimore, unlike the last two games, and with Baltimore, I think having something more to prove this game, I kind of agree with you. I think this one, the Chiefs may take a loss on this one. I just hope they make it close. I hope they make it an entertaining game, maybe like some of those New England, you know, primetime games we've seen, you know, and hopefully it'll be fun and they'll make it worth staying up late for. Anyway, that's it for this edition of 4th and 1, guys. We will talk to you again late Monday night, probably Tuesday morning by the time you guys are listening to it. But until then, take care, kids.